You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Buckeye Talk is about to begin. Hey, 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 come on in.
Welcome back to Buckeye Talk. I'm Stephen Means, and that's Andrew Gillis, and it's another recruiting pod for you. It's just a lot's been happening in the recruiting space for Ohio State. They still have seven commits in the 2025 recruiting class, ranked fifth nationally. Obviously, it's headlined by, I think, 2 5-stars, Devin Sanchez and Naeem Hofford. But Taven St. Clair, making his way up the rankings, man. I think that kid might end up being a 5-star by the time we get to signing day. But for right now, the two cornerbacks still leading the way in terms of Ohio State's commits in its 2025 recruiting class. I said seven because it was eight, and then we're recording this pod on Wednesday. So Tuesday night, kind of unexpectedly, Javon Boggs, the number 189 player, the number 24 wide receiver out of Cocoa, Florida, who had committed to Ohio State back in October, and we had talked about that at great length, Andrew, about how big of a deal it was to get Javon Boggs in that early and why it was such a big deal. He decides after 6 months that he's going to reopen his recruitment there, and so now he's back on the market, putting Ohio State back at seven commitments. No wide receivers yet in this class, which is a little kind of out there in terms of Brian Hartline typically has at least one or two guys, and so right now he has none. Andrew, what is the implications of the Javon Boggs decommitment, and where does Ohio State go from here?
Well, yeah, I mean, the implications, I think, are actually maybe, everybody sees the number 189 player and goes, well, who cares? You know, it's Ohio State. We can find somebody else. And I think that that's, on the one hand, true. You know, I do think that Ohio State can much go get whoever they want. I mean, we were joking about this offline the other day. They had a top 50 recruit decommit on signing day in Jeremiah McClellan. And it felt like nobody really cared because Ohio State had Mylon Graham and Jeremiah Smith in the class. And that's just the way that Ohio State recruits receiver. But Javon Boggs was a really, really significant player, I think, that was kind of continuing his rise up the rankings, as you were kind of alluding to. I mean, this is a guy who Ohio State, when they recruited him, I mean, he was in, you know, the 400s of the recruiting rankings. He's like listed at 6 foot 180. That's probably about like as big as he's going to get. But one of those things that everybody pointed to was with the size and with the recruiting rankings, a lot of comparisons to Jackson Smith and Jigba. And you heard that from him. That was what the coaching staff told him. That was what the coaching staff was kind of saying in private. Like that was what they thought that Javon Boggs could be and would be when he got to Ohio State. So you lose that type of guy. That's significant. I mean, Jackson Smith and Jigba was a first-round pick, right? And he was a first-round pick without having played much of the 2022 season. So, you know, this is a guy who Ohio State saw the potential in Boggs very early. Brian Hartline got in on him early, and this was a big deal, right? You know, this was a guy who Ohio State thought could really be a contributor in this room because typically you're not going out – if you're Ohio State, you're not going after, you know, the number 300th ranked receiver because – you need to fill out the room. You're going after that guy because you think he can play. So he commits in early October. But since then, he had an offer from A&M. He got an offer from Miami. I think he visited unofficially to Miami in January. got an offer from Georgia, got an offer from Notre Dame, got an offer from Arkansas. Like, teams were prodding at him. Teams were kind of keeping this up, which is just the kind of the way that recruitment works. And he decided that it would be best to reopen his commitment. So, you know, it is a loss for Ohio State. I don't think you could paint it as any other way that, you know, they'll find somebody great, because I'm sure they will. But Javon Boggs is a really good football player too. And if you thought that he was going to be really good in that slot role, you do need to find somebody else that can be really good in that slot role. So we'll kind of see what Ohio State does at receiver. And there's a couple of names that, you want to keep an eye on. DeCorian Moore, he's the number three player in the country right now, the number one overall receiver. Ohio State has done pretty well in terms of recruiting number one receivers in the class. They just got one out of Florida. Now they're going to try and get one out of Texas. The problem with DeCorian Moore is that he is currently committed to LSU. So he was recently on a visit in the last week or so to Ohio State. He's narrowed down his commitment to four teams. Ohio State is in that mix, obviously. But again, he is committed to LSU. So you do have ground to make up and you do have ground to catch up. I know there are people in this class that are really, like, Ohio State's trying to flip him. I know Devin Sanchez is really working hard on trying to get him into this class. Like, there are guys that are really trying to get DeCorian Moore. So we'll just kind of see how that recruitment goes. And then there's another five-star in the class, Jamie French. He decommitted from Alabama a little while ago. He's the number 16 overall player, the number three receiver in the class. He's another player that I think would be, even if you don't get DeCorian Moore, if you add a Jamie French, which, by the way, if you ever read my writing about Jamie French and I spell French with two F's at the beginning of it, it's not a typo. That's just how it's spelled. I feel like every time I type in French, I get like a little autocorrect that says, did you mean? No, I did not. Two F's. So it's not a typo. I know what I'm doing. But Jamie French, I mean, he would be the headliner of the class. Like, even if you don't get to Corian Moore, I mean, he's a really, really talented player. A little bit smaller, he's not that like 6'4 kind of body type. And then there's, a few other four stars that Ohio State kind of has on the list right now. Vernell Brown, he's number 102. Andrew Marsh, he's number 61. Phillip Bell, he's number 129. There's just a handful of guys that Ohio State is interested in and is, you would have to imagine now that Boggs has decommitted, will turn up this interest in. So again, kind of caught a lot of people by surprise. Caught me by surprise. If you saw my tweet, I was at Jersey Mike's when that happened. But it was a bit of a unique decommitment. And I'm curious to see where Ohio State goes from here. But I think two things can be true. Number one, it can be a loss and you can't paint it any other way. Javon Boggs is a really talented football player. He's got great ball skills, really good route runner. Ohio State's going to have to find a guy to replace him. But I think that could be true. But I also think Ohio State has the track record to prove that, okay, they probably can find some other players at the receiver position that are pretty dang good.
So there's the update and the latest news regarding Ohio State commitments. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to get into some other decisions around the country that have maybe impacted where Ohio State wants to go recruiting. And it's going to be a quarterback conversation based on the top quarterback in the 2026 class and the decision he made and how that's resetting the Buckeyes quarterback board for the future. And we'll get more into that when we come back here on Buckeyes Talk.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Jarrett Curtis is a number 9 player and the top quarterback in the 2026 recruiting class. He's out of Nashville, Tennessee. He was probably at the top of Ohio State's board for the 2026 recruiting class. Obviously, they're already set in 2025 with Taven Sinclair, who right now is the number 48 player in the country, but gradually making his way up. As I mentioned earlier, it's probably going to end up being a 5-star recruit by the time he gets to signing day in December. But getting Taven Sinclair locked in so early in the process as an in-state kid has allowed Ohio State to move forward into its 2026 class and how they were going to recruit that quarterback position. Andrew, he chose Georgia over the weekend. Am I getting that correct in that situation?
Indeed. Yeah, a kid at Nashville Christian School. He was originally scheduled in January to take an Ohio State visit, And then there was coaching change. Perhaps you, dear Buckeye Talk listener, have heard Bill O'Brien was once the offensive coordinator of this football team. How will you remember the Bill O'Brien era? It was a fun 2 weeks that we had. But when that happened, there was a lot of turnover going on. I remember there was some bad weather or something like that as well. And Jared Curtis put off that visit. So that was a couple of months ago. But obviously, Georgia was always kind of figured to be the lean there. You know, really talented player. And yeah, he'll be a Georgia Bulldog. So Ohio State was interested in him. They were trying to keep that decision going, but he is now committed to Athens, Georgia.
That was one of the few, I guess, consequences, for lack of a better way of putting it, to moving on from Corey Dennis as your quarterback's coach, because Corey did do a lot of the legwork with the quarterback recruiting. Even if Ryan Day is still the reason a lot of these guys are coming here, Corey Dennis, he deserves a lot of credit too for being the guy on boots on the ground with some of that stuff. And when they moved on from Corey Dennis, I think it kind of changed the Jared Curtis trajectory in terms of Ohio State. So with that off the board, that was probably plan A. And we've seen Ohio State have to pivot off of plan A at quarterback in the past. But typically, that's a guy who commits, and then something crazy happens, right? With Jack Miller in the 2020 class, he commits. But then, obviously, injuries maybe disrupted his development as a quarterback and it put Ohio State in a position where they felt like they needed to add another quarterback in that 2020 class and end up with C.J. Stroud. Justin Fields being here to begin with was a result of multiple years of weird quarterback recruiting with Matthew Baldwin in your 2018 class, Tate Martell in your 2017 class. Even Dwayne Haskins was not originally the plan there at quarterback. They flipped him from Maryland late after some other things had fallen through in that situation. In 2021, it's pretty normal. Kyle McCord commits 18 months before signing day, makes it to signing day, and then spends 3 years in the program as a starter in 2023, and then obviously transfers to Syracuse. So even then, you know, to an extent, you had to go find a plan B. In 2022, you have Quinn Ewers as a top player in the country, who then maybe like a month before you start fall camp, NIL kicks into place. And so because of NIL, he reclassifies at 21, shows up and plays for you that year. I put plays in quotations because he didn't really play. He played like three snaps for you that year. But it put Ohio State back in the market to find another 2022 quarterback. They end up with Devin Brown. In 2023, they just kind of recruited the position a little bit differently, and they ended up with Lincoln Kienholz on signing day, but I can't remember his name right now, but he ended up flipping to Auburn. But they were looking for a specific type of quarterback that Lincoln Kienholz kind of fit that build of, a guy who understands that this is going to be a long development process. This wasn't going to be like what we saw with C.J. Stroud, where in year two you're competing to win a job, or what we saw with Devin Brown the same way, year two you're competing for a job, or even with Kyle McCord, where he comes in as a true freshman and is immediately thrown into a quarterback battle. This was going to be a long-term thing. And then in 2024, they start off with Dylan Raiola. Raiola spends 8 months in the class and then flips and then decommits. I think he decommitted the day after Jeremiah Smith committed, which is hindsight. Hilarious. Is funny. It is funny because I think I had a tweet up at that point, because Ohio State at one point had the number one and number two players in the country committed to them with Dylan Raiola and Jeremiah Smith. Obviously, things have moved around in rankings in that situation, and they still got the number one player with Jeremiah Smith. They pivoted to Julian Sand, who made it very clear that he was not flipping from Alabama, and so they pivoted to Aaron Nolan, who ends up making it the signing day. Nick Saban retires, and now Julian Sands also a Buckeye as well. And then in 2025, as I mentioned, Tavian St. Clair, probably going to be the most normal recruitment you've had since Kyle McCord. He committed about 16 months before his signing day, and there's no reason at all to believe that they're going to have to be looking for a new quarterback in 2025, because that's an in-state guy who's also highly touted. But that brings us to 2026, Andrew. With Jared Curtis off the board, it does seem like Ohio State is having to maybe reassess their quarterback board. I know they sent out a couple of offers already, but who are the options as we talk about this in March, in a situation where we've seen them get quarterbacks early, we've seen them get quarterbacks late? This might be somewhere in the middle of both of those situations.
Yeah, so it is unique because the quarterback board is not like overly extensive for Ohio State right now. You know, if we were to talk about receiver, I just kind of ran through a few names. Those are not all the names that we could have ran through receiver, right? Like every position has got like dozens of players that they're keeping tabs on or they're interested in, and quarterback is not that. So the number one guy that, at least according to the rankings, Brady Smigel, he's a kid out of Newberry Park, California. 6'5", 205. He's the number 47 overall player in the class. When you look at his recruitment, Smigel, it's a little bit of a newer recruitment. He got offered like 5-6 weeks ago. He got offered in February. I mean, obviously teams are not, I mean, teams do not start conversations with you when you get offered, but I mean, this is a guy who just got his offer a few weeks ago. So this recruitment still is a little new. I do think that is something to monitor. I mean, you go back, I mean, over a year, I mean, Michigan offered him last January, Georgia offered him last January, Notre Dame offered him last May, Oregon offered him last May, Miami offered him in this January. Like he's had some big offers that came before Ohio State, and then Ohio State kind of jumped into that mix, jumped into that fray. So Smigel is a guy that I would keep an eye on. Then there's Will Griffin, kid out of Tampa, Florida. Again, I mean, this is a guy who has a lot of really significant interest in a lot of different schools. He's taking visits to USC, to UCLA, to Oregon. Like he's got a lot on his plate. But Ohio State has offered him 6'3", 225. When you look at where he's at, I mean, he's the number 55 overall player in the class, the number 4 quarterback. He's a really talented kid. And then the two new kids, you know, these are a little bit kind of brand new. Jonas Williams, he reported an offer this past weekend, March 23rd. He got that offer. He is currently unranked. I do not anticipate it staying that way. You know, especially when you talk about situations that are so far in advance, because it is important to remember the kids that we are about to talk about and that we are talking about right now, they are in their second semester of their sophomore year of high school. They are not halfway done with high school yet. And you're trying to project kind of what they are going to be physically. So size and weight, like, I mean, if you're already like Jonas Williams is 6'3", 185, he's out of Illinois. That's a big deal. You know, that's a kid who's going to grow a little bit, you would expect, kind of grow into his body. But I mentioned unranked. I mean, he's got offers from Michigan. He's got offers from Tennessee. You know, he's got a couple other Big Ten offers, Michigan State, Purdue, Minnesota, Northwestern, Nebraska. Like, I would anticipate now that Ohio State is offered, I would anticipate a lot of other kind of people get their, you know, get their butts in gear, so to speak, and really kind of start to press on him. And then there's Dia Bell, 6'2", 195. He's out of Fort Lauderdale. He's also unranked. He also just reported an offer March 21st, a couple of days before that, Texas, month before that, LSU, a couple of weeks before that, Colorado, Washington, Utah, Ole Miss, Wisconsin, Arizona, Auburn. Like this is a kid who has really kind of started to pick up steam in these last couple of weeks. If you're an NBA fan at all, he's the son of Rajah Bell, which I did kind of think was cool. And then I thought, oh God, I'm getting old. Rajah Bell was on those like really good like mid-2000s Suns teams. It was a Sean Marion, and I think that was the Shaq years with Steve Nash. And yeah, we're going to turn this into basketball talk. But yeah, Rajah Bell, his kid is currently a 2026 high school prospect. So the thing to kind of wrap this all up, which I did notice, Jared Curtis was 6'4", 225. He's committed to Georgia. But listen to this. 6'5", 205. 6'3", 225. 6'3", 185. 6'2", 195. Those are the heights and weights of these kids that are listed that are A, second semester of their sophomore year. That's why I brought that up earlier. And B, some of these like 247 rankings are a little bit outdated sometimes, because, or at least like measurements, because they're high school kids, man. Like they grow all the time. If you have a high schooler or like know of a high school boy, all they do is grow for 4 years. So a lot of these kids are probably a little bit maybe bigger than this as, you know, as the time of recording. So Ohio State clearly has a type. They clearly like size. You know, Ryan Day mentioned mobility is something that was really big for him with these kids. So yeah, it doesn't even have to be mobility as like, we need Lamar Jackson. It just has to be mobility to be able to run the ball and be a running threat. So the board is kind of small, but those are the four guys that are really kind of on the board. And I mean, truthfully, I mean, it's college football recruiting in the year of our Lord 2024. I would anticipate Ohio State keeps tabs and keeps on Jared Curtis at least a little bit until he kind of gets shut down there, because he's the number 9 overall player in the country. He's the number 1 quarterback in the country. And it's 2024. That kid's not going to sign for another 18 months or give or take. So, you know, probably actually a little longer than that, like 20 months. So a lot can happen in that recruitment, but those are kind of the guys that Ohio State has on their 2026 board right now.
Dia Bell goes to the same high school that Brandon Ennis comes from, current second-year wide receiver at Ohio State. I've seen Dia Bell and Will Griffin in person. They actually camped last summer, and I thought both of them were pretty impressive. Will Griffin looked 6'3", 225. At the time, he was going into his sophomore year, and he looked like he was getting ready to be a senior in high school, and he's got a live arm on him. And Dia Bell had a pretty quality day as well. And I think some of these offers are a result of both of those guys coming off of their first years of varsity football and getting film on these guys, and so you are seeing an abundance of offers coming into the situation. We've touched on that, Andrew, in the past. I know you're new to this, but you're right on where we've talked about things is, what does Ohio State look for in a quarterback? What's the style? What's the physical makeup? And I mean, if you look at Justin Fields, what was he when he was here? 6'3", 220. What was C.J. Stroud? 6'3", 215, 220. What was Kyle McCord? 6'3", 215, 220, right? Will Howard is – Devin Brown, even 6'3", 215, 220. Will Howard's kind of the outlier here just because he is such a bigger human being at 6'5", what, like 225, something like that. But this is, right, when you're talking about what the NFL looks like in quarterbacks most of the time, it is around 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", anywhere from 210 pounds to 230 pounds. Those are the styles of quarterbacks at Ohio State that's typically going after. And to your point, all of these guys, even as sophomores, and, I mean, the weight may fluctuate. Like you said, some of these may be a little bit outdated, but they're already around that size that Ohio State is looking for. It's going to be interesting watching some of these camps this summer because I do wonder – you're always wondering if somebody new is going to emerge, right? The first time, you know, we saw Jaden Davis, who obviously is at Michigan now, the first time he popped on Ohio State's radar was around this time in his career after a sophomore year when he showed up at a camp and had a pretty impressive day. And from that point on, it felt like he was going to be – the Ohio State's quarterback. And for a while, it felt like he was going to end up being the commit. And then things obviously fell apart elsewhere. But it'll be interesting in June, especially since you're not worried about your 2025 quarterback per se. It's going to be interesting to see what names pop up this spring and this summer as that board continues to grow along the way.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Like there's a kid out of Ashland, Nathan Bernhardt. He's the number 91 overall player in this class as well. He's 6'5", 227. You know, I mean, you look at some of the offers that he is getting, I mean, Akron, West Virginia, Michigan State, Duke, Iowa State. And I'm not reporting anything by saying this or anything like that. I'm just saying that, like, there's a top 100 kid in your backyard and he could go nuts this summer, right? Like he could come to a camp or go to a camp somewhere else and go nuts, and things can really kind of change and things can really kind of fluctuate. So yeah. And I think especially with this, you know, what you're looking for with size, like, if you've ever like heard the phrase, I'm sure you have, or like said the phrase, like, what do you like in a quarterback? Stand tall in the pocket. Like you've probably heard that. That's kind of not a thing.
Stand tall if you're 5'5".
Well, yeah, you can't stand tall if you're 5'5", but it's also kind of not a thing anymore because you like no offensive coordinator at any level of high school football, college football, or pro football loves to have their quarterback just drop back and then just be a statue, right? Like you need to have your quarterback move around a little bit. It's not, you know, take a 6-step drop, take a 5-step drop in, you know, 2003 and then just, you know, deliver a bomb, you know, 30 yards down the field because you could see the whole field because you're a tower. That's not the way that this thing works. But, you know, it is early and it is important to note that look, there are kids who might pop up that are currently committed to another team. I mean, I would have to go look at the list. You know, like maybe there's a kid committed to, you know, a lower level P4. You know, there's a kid committed to a UVA, a kid committed to an Iowa State. And all of a sudden, this kid goes nuts. And then Texas starts knocking at the door. And Florida starts knocking at the door. And Ohio State starts knocking at the door. And then that kid goes, huh, interesting. Like things can happen. And like, I got an email this morning from somebody asking me not to use the word commitment when talking about kids that are committed to Ohio State, because they're, and while I disagree, I get the notion. Like I get the notion that these kids are, you know, it's really not official until it's official. You know, we can do whatever we can. And,
but that's that's the difference between a commitment and a signee.
Exactly. And like, you know, we'll do what we can and try to, you know, explain however much we can to you guys with whatever. Like, for example, like I feel very confident that Tavian St. Clair is going to end up in Ohio State's class. You know, so like there are just it just varies. But these recruitments can change. These kids can change. And I'm just curious to see kind of what what are Ohio State pivots if some of these things don't work out? Like, you know, if Smigel decides that he wants to stay in California or something like that, or, you know, if you know, Griffin decides that he wants to play for Oregon, where do you pivot? You know, do you feel confident with Jonah Williams? Do you feel confident with Diabel? Do you try to go, you know, roster plucking for somewhere else? Like, there's just a lot that can happen. And, you know, as these kids evolve and change, things are going to evolve and change with us, too.
So right now, obviously, Ohio State's 2026 class has one player in it, and that's Chris Henry, who was living in Ohio for a while, but obviously has since transferred to modern-day high school. I don't think that has an impact on the recruitment. I think that's going to be a similar situation where what we saw with Jeremiah Smith this past year as a top receiver in that class, where as long as Brian Hartline's at Ohio State, Chris Henry will be coming to Ohio State. He's a number two player in that class, a number one wide receiver now at modern day high school, which could probably help Ohio State in terms of some targets they have at modern day high school. We're going to take one last break here, and we are going to get to somebody whose decision is coming up over this weekend and what Andrew thinks about Ohio State's chances of getting potentially the first linebacker of the James Laurinaitis era of Ohio State football. And we'll come back here and we'll talk more about that on Buckeye Talk. Ohio State's 2025 class right now has one linebacker in it, and he's from Ohio. His name is Eli Lee. He's a number 556 player, number 63 linebacker out of Akron, Ohio, from Archbishop Hoban High School. He committed back in October as well. October commitments. So technically speaking, James Laurinaitis does not have his first commitment as Ohio State's official linebackers coach. Now, the guys in the room will tell you he's just been the linebackers coach, even if Jim Knowles held the title. But Eli Lee, in-state guy, and we've talked about, Andrew, how it felt like James Laurinaitis could be what we see Brian Hartline being, what we see Tim Walton being for the cornerbacks and the wide receivers as these former players who turn into these elite recruiters and elite developers at their positions. And we think James Laurinaitis can be the same. Tarvis Alford, number 63 player, number 8 linebacker, is expected to make a decision this weekend. For starters, when is he making that decision? And then before I get your take on whether or not you think Ohio State will win that recruitment, because you have to make a prediction too. It's part of being a recruiting guy.
Of course.
If Ohio State gets this guy, what would they be getting in TJ Alford?
Yeah, so TJ Alford is making his commitment on March 30th. That is Saturday evening. I believe that's at like 6:30. I would have to go check the time, but it is Saturday evening. So stay tuned for that. We will obviously have that for you. You know, get the text. The first thing I will do is send a text out whenever we know with TJ Alford. So go enjoy your Saturday night and then just kind of find out what's going on. But yeah, TJ, so he's a really talented player. And you know, he visited Ohio State, this past weekend. He's got an official scheduled later in the summer. I technically think it's the spring because it technically would be May. So he's going to visit Ohio State at some point in a couple of weeks, officially. He also has official visits scheduled to Florida State and Miami. So the number one thing I want people to know about this recruitment is that if TJ Alford commits to Florida State, hypothetically, just I'll give you my prediction in a minute. If he commits to Florida State, it's not going to be over for Ohio State. They're going to keep on this guy and they're going to keep trying recruiting. If he commits to Ohio State, it is not over. The Florida schools are still going to try to keep him and try to flip him into that class. So, I mean, he's a really talented player, 6'2", 210. He can fly, the number 63 overall player in the class, the number 8 linebacker. This is where Ohio State's linebacking recruiting has kind of been focused on for a little bit now. I mean, he's a really physically impressive player. He is a track athlete, very physical at the point of attack. Like, I actually, the other day, I was talking with one of the other recruiting guys, and I just got curious, and I went and I kind of looked at his highlight tape, and you just see a guy who's willing to, what does Ryan Day say, like, put your face in the fan? Like, that is what TJ Alford does, and I think he's really impressive. So, you know, he visited Ohio State over the weekend. A day later, he posted a picture that he was at Tennessee. Today, as we record this podcast, on March 27th, on Wednesday, posted a picture of Florida State football. Like, this is a recruitment that is going down to the wire. So wherever he commits, I'll say that, it is not going to be a commitment that is just, shucks, we missed. he's committed to blank now. This is going to be one that that goes down to the wire.
So let's have it then. Let's have your first official prediction on a guy who's going to be committed. Ask people listening to this about 48 hours after you're listening to this, TJ Alford, which will Ohio State have another T Alford associated with the Ohio State football program by the end of the weekend? Yes or no, Andrew?
I'm going to say no. I know there are predictions out there everywhere for him, so I want to be clear. I know I'm kind of covering my tracks here, but I'm genuinely not meaning to do this. I would not be surprised by a couple of decisions that he makes, but I don't think he's going to commit to Ohio State. I think he's going to commit to one of the Florida schools. I would probably lean Florida right now if I had to guess. But again, Miami or Florida, like Miami, Florida, Florida State, they are all in the mix for this kid. I mean, this is a thing that, you know, they are very much trying to get this kid to stay within state lines. That is an area that Ohio State has recruited well at certain positions, hint, hint, receiver. And that is an area that Ohio State has work to do in terms of their recruiting, in terms of getting a guy in the class and keeping them there, hint, hint, running back, as many of you guys are well aware of. So I just think that the pull of Florida for one of the Florida schools, I'll say Florida now, I think that the pull is going to be a little bit too much. But again, the way that this recruitment has gone, man, like it is so up in the air. I think that, I mean, it's just really hard to do, right? I mean, think about it. It would be like a kid from Cleveland, you know, considering, you know, or a kid from Toledo considering Ohio State, Michigan, and then like Miami, or then like Florida, and then Florida State. Like, it's hard to pull kids out of their home territory, and I think it's going to be really hard for Ohio State to pull TJ Alford out. I don't think Ohio State would have done anything wrong if they don't land his commitment. I don't think Ohio State would have, you know, what is James Laurinaitis doing? I just think you're going to lose sometimes. Ohio State's already got a really good class building on defense. You know, they've already got, a really solid class with like Devin Sanchez and Naheem Offord and Zahir Mathis. Like, you already got a lot of talented players, and you're going to lose. Eventually, you're going to lose. You're going to fight, and you're going to lose. And I just think this is one of those times where TJ is going to stay in the state of Florida. So I'll say he commits to Florida. But again, this is one of those commitments where he could put on that Gator hat and do the chomp and do that whole song and dance, and it is not over for Ohio State. They will keep on this guy until he either tells them no or he puts pen to paper to sign wherever he's going.
So as we talked about with the Jansler and the potential that could be there with him as a recruiter, should we be judging him off of the same criteria then with Brian Hartline and Tim Walton, at least in this cycle where – you know, we're not TJ Alford, obviously a top 70 recruit in the situation. If we're talking about Brian Hartline, you're talking about Tim Walton, a guy who would be ranked 63rd in their situations, might be the third best player that they get in a class on a given year, right? But also, it's a different position. You're talking about positions like cornerback and safety, where they're NFL premium positions, wide receivers are NFL premium position, while with linebackers, both in the way Ohio State scheme is run, but then also the value of it in the NFL, there's probably not always going to be top 50 five-star recruits, at least not a large surplus of them to where we're going, hey, James, how come you didn't get any of those guys? So how would you – let's put a number on it. Let's say James Laurinaitis gets two linebackers in this class, one of them already being Eli Lee, who's an in-state player. Describe who that – the profile of what that second linebacker would need to be for you to say this was a successful first cycle for James Laurinaitis.
Yeah, that's a really good question, actually. I don't mean actually as if I was surprised that you asked a good question. I think the profile would be a really talented player. You know, like we're talking like a top, you know, a top 150 guy, a top 100 guy, but a guy that can run. You know, because Eli Lee, how many times you heard this a lot? How many times have we heard this a lot just kind of around and what Eli has told, you know, the recruiting writers and told me and told everybody that Tommy Eichenberg was a comp that got thrown around a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Tommy Eichenberg was a guy that they viewed Ohio like that they think Eli Lee can be Tommy Eichenberg. Well, here's the thing with Tommy Eichenberg. He had a pretty good linebacker playing next to him in Steel Chambers, right? Like he had a really solid, like they fit well together and their needs kind of complemented one another. So I think the guy that you would look for would be that type of player. Obviously you want you know, the best linebacker you can get. You know, I think that TJ kind of fits that mold to a T, which is obviously why that they would push for him. But yeah, I think that, you know, that would be the type of player that you can look for. They're in on Riley Pettijohn. He's a kid, number 57 overall. He's out of Texas. They're in on Madden Ferrymo. We've talked about him. He's a number 111 player out of California. You know, they're in on Elijah Barnes. They're in on Elijah Melendez. I know he's a Miami commit right now, but they're like, there are guys that Ohio State is after that would make some sense. Jaden Harmon, he's out of Georgia. He's a linebacker, number 218 in the class. Like, there are guys that would make sense, and I'm not trying to give James Laurinaitis a pass here, but I think you can get away with not recruiting the best linebacker in the country every year, right? Like, I think you don't need to recruit at a level like Brian Hartline or like Tim Walton to be deemed a success or a failure. You know, I think that, especially when you look at the linebackers, like, you know, as I do this right now, there's six, there's eight, there's eight linebackers in the top 100. There are other positions that are a little bit more chock full of talent, especially because linebacker is such a unique position to recruit. Sometimes you recruit a linebacker you recruit a guy who plays safety in high school because he's the fastest guy on the field, but he has to play linebacker in college because he's bigger and he's just not going to be able to keep up with speed and receive. Like, linebacker is a unique position to recruit. So I think you need to find, obviously, a talented player. I mean, you obviously want that guy to be within some semblance of the rankings. You need him probably like a top 200 player. You're not trying to recruit a two-star, three-star player and they'd be like, we did it. Hey, congratulations, everyone. That's not where you want to be, but you do, I think, need a will in this class. And I think if you leave this class with Eli Lee, who, another guy, I know I said it's not a commitment technically. It's, you know, it's one of those situations where you never know until you know. I think you feel pretty good about Eli Lee staying in this class, especially as long as James Laurinaitis is employed by Ohio State. You had a will in this class, like a guy, you know, even if it's like a guy like Madden Ferrymo, like if you had a guy who, you know, 6'3", 210, you know, I mentioned borderline top 100 player, like that can just be a really, really nice 1-2 punch for James Laurinaitis, a linebacker. And when you stack it up with the rest of the class, DB, D-line, feeling pretty good.
All right. So that's TJ Alford, who will be committing on Saturday, March 30th. We'll see if Ohio State can get back to 8. And it's 2025 recruiting class. Right now they're at 7, the number 5 class in the country. Get the text 614-350-3315 when TJ commits. That's the first place you're going to hear about it from us. Andrew's going to be texting that number. 2-week free trial, $3.99 after that. As quarterback stuff is happening, that's where you're going to hear it first. As literally any recruiting thing is happening, that's the first place we're going to go with it before we go anywhere else. Plus, Saturday's going to be a pretty busy day, man. You got TJ Alford committing. You've got Ohio State having their second scrimmage of the spring, and we'll be in there to watch the entire scrimmage. So we'll get our eyes on that. So get the text, 614-350-3315. That wraps up another recruiting post. For Andrew Gillis, I'm Stephen Means, and that was Buckeye Talk.